All right, the time is now 7 minutes past the hour. Let's get to our guest, Manishi Raychaudhuri, who's head of equity research in the Asia Pacific at BNP Paribas. Manishi, is it too soon to be playing a softer approach from the Fed, or is that what people do in equity markets? They get out in front.
Equity markets have a habit of looking ahead, obviously, and that's clearly what's been happening. If you look at Asia, if you look at the developed markets, it's not unusual, but at the same time, we must point out that the basic hike trajectory of the Fed and the final Fed funds rate outlook has not changed. We are still focusing on a 5.25% terminal Fed rate to be reached sometime in the first quarter of 2023, which means maybe a 50 basis points hike in December, followed by another 75 basis points spread across the first quarter of next year. So, you know, I think this initial euphoria that we have seen on the back of an expectation of a downshift in December would possibly get capped sometime around the end of this year or early next year.
Manishi, I wanted to ask you about the China story, these very distressing pictures we're seeing in China at the moment, and whether or not these protests dent the potential newfound optimism that we had towards Chinese assets and the overall economy.
It seems clear that this whole reopening process in China will be some kind of a zigzag. It'll be a set of small incremental steps, maybe spread over the next 6 months. Who knows? At the same time, it seems clear to us that the Chinese administration is focusing on improving the Chinese economy, particularly domestic consumption. That's apparent in the way they're trying to gradually move out of the zero COVID policy. We think that they will continue to do so. And also in the most recent triple R cut that we saw over the weekend. Even though the impact of these monetary policy adjustments are possibly declining gradually, so it needs a more concerted effort, combining both fiscal and monetary policy action to improve sustainably improve domestic consumption.
So one of the conviction points that you've been making is to play financials because you like the rising rate environment. Obviously, for the banks, I mean, it's good normally to borrow low and loan it out higher. But when you look at the 10-year yield, actually lower than what we see in short-term interest rates, that may not be a good thing for the banks.
I think at least as far as this part of the world is concerned, the emerging markets and particularly emerging Asia, there's been a strong correlation with yields going up and the banking sector outperforming. It tends to happen for different reasons in different pockets of Asia. But for much of North Asia, you know, what we tend to call developed Asia, the correlation with the net interest margins of the banks with rising yields is almost incontrovertible, over the past maybe 10 to 15 years. And that's what we continue to play. We have played that theme for, about 18 months now. And we think that theme is likely to be alive for, at least about the next 6 months.
Talking about what your market outlook and strategy is for Asia heading into, I guess, the last month of 2022 and into 2023, we mentioned some of the overweights you have. I'm curious as to your underweight on Taiwan. I was just talking about the election there over the weekend, but it does look like global investors are keen on Taiwan, foreigners returning after 5 months of net outflows. Why are you underweight here?
Right. Taiwan still suffers, along with the other North Asian tech hardware exporters, from potential demand deterioration in the developed markets. That's been the theme for over the last 1 to 1.5 years. We think that the potential demand retrenchment is not yet over. It's continuing and will likely last at least till the first half of next year. our forecast about the recessionary environment in the U.S. and Eurozone are that it'll possibly begin sometime in the second quarter of next year and continue for much of 2023. So in this context, we think what we're seeing in North Asia, particularly Taiwan and Korea, is a bit of a pop resulting from a risk-off environment because of the downshift, the expected downshift to the Fed rate hike trajectory. But I think the the case for a fundamentally cautious attitude is still there.
It's quite interesting because you mentioned that you also like India, but you are overweight Indian IT. So there is some tech that you like.
Right, indeed. And that's a departure from our usual trend. We think investors across the world are equating Indian IT with the North Asian tech hardware exporters. But there's a fundamental difference. The kind of order inflows that the Indian IT companies have seen, the frontline large cap Indian IT companies over the last 1 to 1.5 years, are relatively long term in nature. These orders give a visibility, a revenue visibility to the Indian IT companies over the next year. And I think that provides some kind of defensive quality to the Indian IT sector. The valuations are cheaper than they used to be about 6 months ago. I think the depreciation of the Indian rupee is also a tailwind to these companies.
Okay, India IT, we mentioned some of your other overweights, Thailand, Indonesia, and you've mentioned neutral on China. What are some of the other areas you're sticking away from?
Right. The main themes that we're focusing on as far as Asia is concerned in 2023 are financials, of course. We already discussed that. We also like the reopening theme across Asia, and we're playing pockets of China, a few in Hong Kong, and a few pockets in Thailand, of course. That's one of the biggest reopening beneficiaries in Asia. We are also positive on the consumption theme, particularly consumer discretionaries. And in the context of some markets like India, it actually translates into what we call affluent consumption, or really the upper end consumption. So, it's basically consumer discretionaries, selective consumer staples, and financials. Those are the three sectors that we're positive on.
Okay. We can tell from your voice, Manish, and we know you well enough, that you've got a lot of experience and you're a seasoned veteran looking at policy in Asia. How dangerous is it getting for the leadership in China here at the moment with the kind of repressed anger that we see under the surface in China?
As far as Chinese policymaking is concerned, it seems clear that the first thing that they would have to focus on is improving domestic consumption, or more broadly, improving the environment for domestic consumption. And that is something this zero COVID policy has harmed over the last 1 to 1.5 years. And we believe that the Chinese administration would like to get away from this zero COVID policy. But it also seems clear that it's not going to be a one-shot kind of action. It's going to be a small steps of, set of small steps over
long and protracted, no doubt. Manishi, we thank you as always. Manishi Reshadari, Head of Equity Research APAC at BNP Paribas.